We're joined by Jim Williams of Public Policy Polling. PublicPolicyPolling.com is their website, and you can find more on Twitter at PPP Polls as well. Jim, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron, thanks for having me.
So, Supreme Court decision comes down. Of course, everyone is talking about it. We're getting statements from just about everyone who's involved in politics, a bunch of different organizations that have been involved in this case directly. But, of course, all of this is kind of leading up to the 2020 election. We've already seen the impact of the way that legislative district lines are drawn in North Carolina in the last few rounds of elections that we've had. We'll see it again probably coming up next year. What actually do we know numerically about the impact of partisan gerrymandering and the act of drawing the lines in this particular way?
Yeah, you know, I saw an analysis done by the New York Times last year in the wake of the 2018 elections that suggested on the congressional level, you know, based on the way that Democrats and Republicans voted in 2018, If the districts were drawn in a nonpartisan fashion, you would have expected to have the GOP end up with 7 seats, Democrats end up with 6. I think most people would think that would be a reasonable likely outcome based on how close the state is politically. But of course, that's not what the outcome was. You know, the Republicans ended up with 10 congressional seats, Democrats ended up with only 3. And I think that exact same impact transfers almost the exact same way on the state legislative level as well. So we know that it has a big impact in terms of who ends up being elected based on what the lines are in North Carolina.
And not just 10-3 in the last election, but I mean, one of the things that we've been talking about for years is just how consistent that's been. You had a really good Democratic year in 2012, really good Republican year in 2014, kind of 50-50 split in 2016. 2018 was another good Democratic year, and it's 10-3 no matter how good a year it is for which party.
That's right. And that's sort of a hallmark of the gerrymandering thing, isn't it? You know, it's sort of designed that way. It's by design. No matter what happens, no matter who's up, who's down, who's having a good year, who's not, the outcome's always the same. And I think, you know, reasonable observers would say, well, you know, something might be wrong with that.
So what do Americans think about partisan gerrymandering? What do North Carolinians think about it? What do Americans think about it in general? What do we know?
We've polled about this several times over the last few years, usually in the context of asking folks if they support an independent redistricting commission in their state, taking the power away from legislators to draw their own districts, putting it in the hands of an independent commission that has some Democrats, some Republicans, and some independents. And everybody kind of has to have buy-in when we draw these lines. When we polled on this in North Carolina last year, we found that concept was supported by a 59-15 point margin for nonpartisan redistricting. Independents supported it 69-12. Democrats supported it 62-12. And even Republicans supported it 45-21. So when you ask people in a vacuum, hey, what do you think about this concept of doing this nonpartisan redistricting? People like it. I've seen, you know, polls anywhere from a sizable majority, 55, all the way up to 75% or 80%, depending on how the question's asked and where you're asking it.
Are there trends as far as that goes? Are people getting more or less supportive of independent redistricting? Is the strength of the support or opposition increasing or decreasing?
I think so. I think this is an issue that's becoming kind of more and more on the front burner in people's consciousness as people start to realize, hey, you know, we can work as hard as we possibly can to get people that we want elected. But, you know, if the rules are stacked against us in such a way that these districts are going to be drawn in a way where that sort of doesn't have any impact, I think people start to get pretty frustrated. And I think that's starting to bear itself out in polling numbers.
Speaking with Jim Williams, Public Policy Polling. PublicPolicyPolling.com, again, is their website for more information and more numbers, and you can also find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. Obviously, the way that legislative district lines are drawn is going to be a subject of discussion heading into the 2020 election. There are a bunch of other issues on the table as well, including health care, and I know you just did a survey of battleground states, states that are likely to be swing states in the upcoming election, on where voters there stand on the health care issue and how it might motivate them in one direction or the other heading into the next election. What was the result?
Mm-hmm. We did a poll just earlier this month in Florida, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. If you had to pick a top 4 states that were kind of decisive last time in the presidential election, it would probably be those 4. And the focus of the poll was how people feel about President Trump's health care agenda and whether they would consider voting for a presidential candidate who supports a lot of the major pieces of Trump's agenda on health care, things like eliminating health care protections for people with pre-existing conditions, cutting funding for Medicare, or letting insurance companies stop covering the cost of prescription drugs. These are all things that Trump and the Republicans in Congress have been trying to do since the 2016 election. And we found that voters in these states don't just say that they oppose that type of agenda. They say they won't support a candidate who supports those things. They say if a candidate for president supports plans that let insurance companies stop covering the cost of prescription drugs, 77% of voters say they would not consider voting for them. 73% of voters say they would not consider voting for a candidate who proposes a budget that includes an $845 billion cut in Medicare, as President Trump's proposed budget does. We also found that 72% would not consider voting for a presidential candidate who supports plans that eliminate health care protections for people with pre-existing conditions. This is a lot of the same terrain that the 2018 midterms were fought on and to great success for Democrats, particularly in the House of Representatives. So what we're finding here is that this issue is not going away. And if the presidential election is fought on the terrain of health care, it's not good news for President Trump.
And we talked about this, of course, back in 2018, not just the fact that voters tend to side with the existing health care system rather than what Republicans were pushing for, but also that it affected voter enthusiasm. Like, people who were more supportive of the existing health care plan ended up being more interested in going to the polls and voting when that came to the front of public discourse. Is that something that we're seeing in this survey too?
Certainly so. I mean, I think, you know, the number one thing that scares people about healthcare is going back to the bad old days of when a pre-existing condition could stop you from having healthcare coverage.
Mm-hmm.
When Obamacare came online, I think, you know, a lot of people thought, okay, wow, this is much better. You know, notwithstanding some of the technical flaws that Obamacare may have had, there are a lot of things about it that people really like. And I think people started to realize that when it actually became a reality that those things might be taken away, that Republicans were trying to take them away. And so we found last year that, you know, the more people heard about healthcare, the more they thought about it, the more they became aware that, you know, it was possible to lose these newfound healthcare protections, the more, you know, likely it was to drive them to the polls.
Any other numbers that you're seeing either from this particular survey or others that people ought to know?
Well, we asked people some funny questions. We asked people, you know, if they have a higher opinion of a healthcare plan that eliminates protections for people with pre-existing conditions, or do they have a higher opinion of being stuck in traffic? Stuck in traffic won 47-27. We asked the same question, you know, a healthcare plan that eliminates protections for people with pre-existing conditions or cockroaches. Cockroaches won 42-28. So it just goes to show that, you know, this is people find it very distasteful. They're not interested in, you know, going backwards on healthcare in that way. And sort of a wrap-up number that we found there, we asked people, who do they trust more on the issue of healthcare, Democrats or President Trump? 52% of voters in these crucial battleground states said that they trusted Democrats more. Just 43% trust President Trump more. And among independent voters, the gap was even wider. 59% said they trust Democrats more. Just 36% of independent voters in these crucial states said that they trusted Trump more on health care.
Get more numbers online either at publicpolicypolling.com or on Twitter at PPP Polls. Links to surveys there as well. Jim Williams, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.